Safadur Sarmani Jacob, please straighten the rose. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. نقول آمين. Inshallah, for the remaining dua, the lessons of tafsir from Surah Al-Kahf will take place. For those requested to participate, inshallah, baqiya dua ke baad dars Quran hoga. Saath shirkat mein inshallah fayda hoga. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa sallim 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 ولا حق علينا إلا الصلاة وجمعنا صلاة مخذ من الصلاة ومخذ من الصلاة ومخذ من الصلاة ولا تخطر من الله وانت الله وانت الله وانت وصلنا من الباري وانت الله 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 صلى الله وسلم على النبي الأمين الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمة الله. So the brief lesson of tafsir will take place, please do participate inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونسلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ثم أتبع سببا حتى إذا بلغ مطلع الشمس وجدها تطلع على قوم لم نجعل لهم من دونها سترا كذلك وقد أحطنا بما لديه خبرا ثم أتبع سببا حتى إذا بلغ بين السدين وجد من دونهما قوما لا يكادون يفقهون قولا قالوا يا ذا القرنين إن يأجوج ومأجوج مفسدون في الأرض فهل نجعل لك خرجا على أن تجعل بيننا وبينهم سدا قال ما مكنني فيه ربي خير فأعينوني بقوة أجعل بينكم وبينهم ردما آتوني زبر الحديد حتى إذا ساوى بين الصدفين قال انفخوا حتى إذا جعله نارا قال آتوني أفرغ عليه قطرا فما استطاعوا أن يظهروه وما استطاعوا له نقبا قال هذا رحمة من ربي فإذا جاء وعد ربي جعله دكاء وكان وعد ربي حقا وتركنا بعضهم يومئذ يموج في بعض ونفخ في الصور فجمعناهم جمعا صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. So last week, alhamdulillah, we started this new discussion in Surah Al-Kahf, the discussion of Dhul-Qarnayn. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ And they ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about ذُو الْقَرْنَيْنِ قُلْ سَأَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I shall recite upon you, in front of you, some mention regarding him. So from here, as I highlighted last week, we understand that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not given ilmu al-kulli, entire knowledge about who ذُو الْقَرْنَيْنِ was. He was given partial information. Because I will recite in front of you some detail that has been revealed upon me. To the extent that in the hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that لا أدري أذل قرنين نبيٌ أم لا I don't know whether ذل قرنين is a Nabi or whether he isn't. So from here another important point to highlight is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not have entire knowledge of the unseen. This is a misguided and incorrect aqidah and belief system to have that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has the same knowledge of unseen that Allah Ta'ala has. Na'udhu Billah, it's so wrong that you can take a person out of the fold of Islam. Because you're making shariq with Allah someone in his attributes. You're associating partners with Allah in his attributes. Allah's ilm is above and beyond anyone's understanding. To say Allah's ilm is the same as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's ilm, Na'udhu Billah, is shirk. So you have to be very careful. People do say this. Maybe out of love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they start saying that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has ilmul ghaib kulli. But he doesn't. Everybody who has any knowledge of unseen only has partial knowledge of unseen. So many evidences we have. Even in Surah Al-Kahf, Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam and Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, at the end of their conversation, when Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam said, Oh Musa, I can't allow you to go any further. You keep asking too many questions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Oh, I wish Musa alayhi salam could be patient more so we could have learnt more. Meaning that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was yearning and eager to learn more, which means he didn't have the knowledge. He didn't have any knowledge beyond what the Qur'an had mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the point here is, this is a different topic altogether about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ilm. So they asked about Dhul Qarnayn. So this Dhul Qarnayn was obviously a very important person to the Yahud. That's why they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about him. So last week we mentioned about the opinions. Who was Dhul Qarnayn? A lot of the Mufassirun have gone towards the fact that it was Alexander the Great. But like I said, this is an opinion that has been disregarded by many other Mufassirun. Hafiz ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi very strongly in his tafsir says that it cannot be, it doesn't make any sense I don't understand why the Mufassirun before me have gone with this opinion of Alexander the Great, whereas it's very clear that Alexander the Great was a mushrik, polytheist, a pagan, an idol worshipper, and he was a kind of like a drunkard. And I think he killed his own uncle in drunken kind of a rage. He killed his own uncle. He threw a spear and he killed his own uncle. It does not fit the description of who Dhulqarnain is. Dhulqarnain was a man of Allah, waliullah, pious person. So Hafiz ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi says, he also does not believe that it was Alexander the Great or Cyrus who came before him, but he says it was someone even before that, about 1,000 years before that. Because Alexander the Great lived around 350 years BC before Isa alayhi salam. So he says he would have been 1,000 years before that in the time of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, around that time. Wallahu alam. Last week I mentioned how Murrah ibn Rahman, Sihari, and many other scholars are inclined towards the fact that it was Cyrus the Great. Allah knows by haqeeth, we don't need to worry about it. But one thing I did forget to mention, Dhulqarnain, why was he called Dhulqarnain? Did Allah Ta'ala give him the laqab of Dhulqarnain? Or was he already known as Dhulqarnain amongst the Yahud? The Mufassirun say Allah Ta'ala did not call him Dhulqarnain, rather the Yahud community of Jews knew him as Dhulqarnain. Because that's why the phraseology is such. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِلْقَرْنَيْنِ They are asking you about ذِلْقَرْنَيْنِ. In their words they are saying, who is ذِلْقَرْنَيْنِ? So then Allah Ta'ala is responding accordingly. Whereas that's not his name. That's not a name that Allah Ta'ala gave him or anyone gave him. It's a name that the Yahud had for him. The Jewish community of Medina had for him. What does that mean, ذُلْقَرْنَيْن? ذُلْقَرْنَيْن literally means دوسينغوالي, the one with two horns. So can I say, why is he called that? So many opinions have been given. Either because he used to wear a helmet, which had two horns. Or because he had two long locks of hair from the back. لَهُ ظَفِيرَتَيْنِ He had two long locks of hair. Or because he went from the east to the west, so the two qarnas, you know, the two kind of sides of the earth. So that's why he's called ذُلْقَرْنَيْنِ. Many other opinions have been given. Allah Ta'ala knows best. Last week we mentioned how Sayyidina ذُلْقَرْنَيْنِ he went to the western part of the earth, بَلَغَ مَغْرِبَ الشَّمْسِ, where he saw the setting of the sun. And the ulama say, Hafiz ibn Kathir rahmatullahi say, mentions as well, that this is, the setting of the sun does not necessarily mean he went to where the sun sets, because we're on earth. But he went to the furthest, most western part of the land, before you meet the sea, and he watched the sun kind of setting, and that area with the water there was very murky, and very kind of dirty and black. And in the other qira'ah, وَجَدَهَا تَغْرُبُ فِي عَيْنٍ حَامِئَةٍ That's another qira'ah, which means he found it setting in hot water, boiling hot. So some say hot springs of water. So wherever there are hot springs of water, that's the area that Sayyidina ذُلْقَرْنَيْن went to. And he travelled, and he met a group of people there, and he had a discussion. They were disbelieving people. So Allah Ta'ala says, look, we said to ذُلْقَرْنَيْن, that O ذُلْقَرْنَيْن, if you want to punish them for their kufr and for their shirk, you can do that. And if you want to let them go and give them a chance, you can do that. It's up to you. So Sayyidina ذُلْقَرْنَيْن spoke to them. And then ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا Thereafter, he adopted a different path. So he'd gone all the way to the western part of the land, and then he took a different course. ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ Thereafter, he adopted سَبَبًا Some means. Meaning the means to travel on a different path. He took the means, whether it was wealth and animals and soldiers and, you know, entourage, to travel to a different direction, towards a different direction. Remember, Sayyidina ذُلْقَرْنَيْن was like Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam in certain aspect. And this, Hafiz ibn Kathir alhamdulillah, quotes actually from Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, that when Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, his companion, said, how did ذُلْقَرْنَيْن travel that much? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, what do you say about a person? He responded by saying, what do you say about a person who Allah had given control over the winds? So from here we understand ذُلْقَرْنَيْن had control over winds and certain things, like Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. Could travel very fast. Could travel very fast. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَطْلِعَ الشَّمْسِ Until he reached the place where the sun rises. The place where the sun rises, which is the eastern part of the land. وَجَدَهَا تَطُلُعُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ He found it to be rising over a people, group of people. لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهَا سِتْرًا Who did not have any barrier between themselves and the sun, to protect themselves from the sun. What does that mean? The Mufassirun say either it means they didn't have any clothes. There are certain tribes even now that exist in the earth who don't wear clothes. Certain African tribes, and I think there are others, who still, آج تک بھی وہ کپڑے نہیں پہنتے. بس ننگے مطلب چلتے پھرتے. So there is a tribe of people that were not wearing clothes. Or it means that they were in such heat that nothing could give them any security from the heat of the sun. And basically, whatever they were doing, it was just too hot. It's very hot. كذلك وقد أحطنا بما لديه خبرة. So Allah Ta'ala is giving, look, snippet of information. Okay, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because remember, this is a test of nubuwwat. This is a test to check, okay, is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a true prophet of Allah or not? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed some information. Okay, tell them, yes, Dhul-Qarnayn made a journey to the Maghrib, to the eastern, western part of the land, a journey to the eastern part of the land. Remember, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no other way of gaining this information. The Yahud, most of them did not know these stories. Only the ulama and the great senior scholars knew about it. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been given information enough for them to be convinced that he is a Nabi of Allah. Otherwise, how would he know about this? ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ كَذَلِكَ. And in this manner, so it was. This is what happened. Allah Ta'ala is saying, كَذَلِكَ يَهِي هُوَدَى. This is what happened. That this is yaqini. What you, the knowledge you have, you people have of Dhul-Qarnayn, dhanni, is assumptions. It's not, there's no verification has not been done to that ilm. Whereas whatever ilm, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you've been given, this is certain ilm. Allah himself is saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is exactly what happened. He made a journey to the west. Who did he meet there? He made a journey to the east. He met a group of people there who were burning in the heat of the sun, who had no shade from the heat of the sun. And then كذلك, this is what happened. وَقَدْ أَحَطْنَا بِمَا لَدَيْهِ خُبْرًا. And we, and then Allah Ta'ala is reaffirming, and we have all knowledge regarding him. And we have encompassed all ilm regarding Dhul-Qarnayn. ہمیں Dhul-Qarnayn کے بارے میں تمام معلومات ہیں. We're just giving you a glimpse. ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. But I've missed out on my slides. ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. After that, so he made a journey to the western part of the land, eastern part. ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. Then he made another journey. اس کے بعد, he made another journey. ایک تو مغرب کی طرف اور پھر مشرق کی طرف. And then he made another journey. مفسرون mention what is this journey. Some say he continued eastwards. After he reached that part where the people were in had no shelter from the heat of the sun, from the shade of the they had no shade from the heat of the sun, he continued on eastwards. Yeah, he continued eastwards. That's what majority of the Mufassirun say. Hatta idha balagha bayna as-saddayn, until he reached a place which was between two mountains. Hatta idha balag, until he reached a place between two mountains. Wajada min dunihima qawman, he found between them a group of people. La yakaduna yafqahuna qawla, who could not understand anything he was saying. He went so far, and remember Sayyidina Dhul-Qarnayn is king of majority of the land. He knows the languages of the people, and if he does not know them, he has translators who know the languages of the people. But they reached such a far distant land that nobody knew the language of what those people were saying. He found by them a people who were unable to understand anything he said. قَالُوا يَا ذُلْقَرْنَيْنِ, they said, O ذُلْقَرْنَيْنِ, how did they convey this message to Sayyidina Dhul-Qarnayn? Mufassirun say either through translators or either through Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam, who informed Dhul-Qarnayn what these people are saying. He mentioned this is what they say. قَالُوا يَا ذُلْقَرْنَيْنِ, they said, O ذُلْقَرْنَيْنِ, إِنَّ يَأْجُوجَ وَمَأْجُوجَ مُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Indeed, there's a group of people called يَأْجُوجَ and مَأْجُوجَ, and they're causing so much facade and corruption upon the earth. فَهَلْ نَجَعَلُ لَكَ خَرْجًا, can we fix for you a payment? A payment. We'll fix a payment for you. And تَجْعَلَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ سَدَّا, that you erect between us and between them a barrier, a wall. ذُلْقَرْنَيْن, there's a group of people terrorizing us. And Mufassirun said there was this nation called يَأْجُوجَ and مَأْجُوجَ. In the Bible they mention as well Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog. Group of people. In the Bible there's lots of different interpretations as to what Gog and Magog are. Even the biblical scholars have so many theories about what Gog and Magog are. But we know they're a group of people. They're a nation. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in ahadith mentioned many different ahadith about who Ya'juj and Ma'juj are. He mentioned they're a huge nation. And one of the signs of Qiyamah will be that the wall which is barricaded Ya'juj and Ma'juj will collapse and they will come onto the earth. And this will be after Sayyidina Isa alayhi wa sallam comes. And they will pass by Buhayra Tabriya in the hadith he mentions, Lake Tiberias. They will pass by it, which is in Sham.
in Syria. And when they pass by it, they will be drinking from the water. So from the river, some will be drinking. They'll be putting it into their containers and utensils and pots and this and that. And by the time the last of them reach there, there will not be a single drop of water in there. And they will say, "Ek zamane mein, there was a time where there was water in there." So there'll be so many of them. Puri jo hai, kya kehte hai, darya ko wo pi jayenge. There's so many in number. And Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam will take shelter from them. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam will not fight them. He will take the believers into the mountains, and then they will come and they will cause corruption upon the earth. And then Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam will make dua against them, and Allah's adab will come upon them, and then they'll be like, you know, dead corpses and dead bodies everywhere. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will eradicate them. After that will come Dabbatul Ardh. And these are all the major signs of Qiyamah. From the major signs of Qiyamah, Sayyidina Imam Mahdi's zuhur, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam coming, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam's appearance, Dajjal's appearance, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, these are the major signs of Qiyamah. Alamatu sa'atil kubra. They are from the 10 major signs of Qiyamah which will come. And the others, Khasfun bil Mashriq, Khasfun bil Maghrib, Khasfun bi Jaziratil Arab. There'll be a kind of landslide in the east, landslide in the west, landslide in the Arabian Peninsula. Rather, Allama Safraz Khan Safdar rahmatullahi, he used to say that it will take place where modern day Tabuk is. He said because a particular nation who protects the Arabs, they've built their, what do you call it, you know, their barracks. So, you know, they've got their position, isn't it, in the Arab lands. A particular nation that protects the Arabs. They're the protectors of the Arabs. And they have their, army or campsites or whatever. So it's in the place of Tabuk. And he was saying in his time he went there, and he was saying there's thousands and thousands, in the Arab lands, Tabuk, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said no mushrik should travel, but these Arabs, out of fear of everybody else, they've been told, oh, if we don't protect you, Kuwait are going to harm you, Bahrain are going to harm you, your neighbors are going to harm you, this person is going to harm you. So they are paying non-Muslim soldiers to live in their own countries, and they're parting, and there's ayash, and to provide for them, there's alcohol, and there's women, and there's everything in the Muslim lands. So Allah said, when I went there, I thought to myself, okay, if a khasfun bil jaziratil arab happens, it's going to happen right here. But these people have so openly broken the laws of Allah. And now look, he didn't see this, what's happening now in Jeddah and here and there, where the most biggest concerts and all of this are happening there. He didn't see any of this. Agar aaj ka jo surat hal hai, hamare buzurgaan e din dekhte, to pata nahi kya sochte. Makkah, Medina ke ird gird, Jeddah mein, Riyaz mein, it's such big concerts and parties, and subhanAllah, when you go there, it's for tourists. It's for tourists now. They just want tourists to come, non-Muslims. And now non-Muslims are allowed in Makkah and Medina as well. Non-Muslims are allowed in Makkah and Medina. So all of this will happen. And then Ya'juj and Ma'juj will come. Anyway, they said, Udul Qarnayn. Who are Ya'juj and Ma'juj? They're a group of people. They live behind these pahars. They live behind these mountains. And these mountains were huge. Mufassirun say they were, snow-capped mountains somewhere. Very tall mountains. And behind those mountains, you had the Ya'juj and Ma'juj, the Gog and Magog. And they would come and they would terrorize this tribe. They would loot them, raid them. They would kind of defile their women folk, and then they would go back. And then they would come and they would attack them and they would go back. So these people had nowhere to go. So they said, Dhulqarnain, you're such a big king. You've got army, you've got soldiers, you've got wealth. We will give you money. Hum aapko paise denge. Please build a wall to protect us from them. Sayyidina Dhulqarnayn, he said, قَالَ مَا مَكَّنِّي فِيهِ رَبِّي خَيْرٌ فَأَعِينُونِي بِقُوَّةٍ أَجْعَلْ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ رَدْمًا. Sayyidina Dhulqarnayn, he said, مَا مَكَّنِّي فِيهِ, whatever my Rabb has given me is much better. I don't need your wealth. مجھے آپ کی مال کی ضرورت نہیں ہے. And this is from here the ulama say, Allah Ta'ala has given you the means for something. Don't rob the people. Whatever you are, I'm a alim of deen. Allah Ta'ala has provided for me all of my financial needs. I'm happy, all my needs are met. Now it's just greed. Anytime someone comes to me, one phone call, one meeting, people charge for dhamm. You go to people, they give one dhamm in water. My sheikh was saying, he met this family in Canada. He said they were going to a peer sahab, for one dhamm he would charge £500. One dhamm, dhamm, £500. Like what? It's like taking advantage of people. Sayyidina Dhul-Qarnayn said, Allah's given me enough wealth, Allah's given me enough assets, Allah's given me everything. I don't need, what I do need is if we're going to build such a huge wall, I need manpower. مَا مَكَّنِّي فِيهِ رَبِّي خَيْرٌ Whatever my Rabb has given me is good enough. I don't need your money. فَأَعِينُونِي بِقُوَّةٍ میری مدد کرو اپنی قوت سے, طاقت سے. Help me with your physical strength. أَجْعَلْ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ رَدْمًا I will construct between you and between them a barrier, a wall. Who are Ya'juj and Ma'juj? Mufassirun have said so many things. And every time I read, I come with in new opinions. Allah knows best. Allah knows best. Early Mufassirun, when Genghis Khan came and the Tatar invasion happened and the Mongols came, all the Mufassirun of the time were convinced that these are Ya'juj Ma'juj. Because they were like the scourge. They came and they just wiped out the Muslims. They ransacked Baghdad and they just went. But remember, in the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when Ya'juj Ma'juj come, then Sayyidina Isa Alayhi Salaam will come and through his dua, they will be destroyed. But Sayyidina Isa Alayhi Salaam didn't come. And then subhanAllah, later on Allah Ta'ala made it such that part of the Mongol army, they embraced Islam. The golden, what do you call it, Khanate or something. The golden horde. They became Muslim. And from their children, you had Babur who came to India and is the Mughal emperor, spread Islam in India. And you had Taimur Lang. In Uzbekistan and that region. They were all from the children of the Mongols. And they were Muslim. So it wasn't them. And many other times in history, people have said, scholars have said, these are Ya'juj Ma'juj, these people are Ya'juj Ma'juj. But because in the hadith, they're described like the people of that region. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned they have very wide faces. They have squashed noses. You know, they're given that description of the people of Mongolia and people of the Caucasus regions and even people of China possibly and Japan and these type of people. They're given the description of those people. So Mufassirun have always looked towards that region that the Ya'juj Ma'juj will come from there. Ya'juj Ma'juj will come from there. But Allah knows haqiqatan. And this wall of Ya'juj Ma'juj, where is it? Scholars have said so many opinions. One of the best people to read is Mawlana Hifzur Rahman Sihari. He says, all the walls that the Mufassirun have said, none of them make sense. None of them make sense. Many of them have said Great Wall of China, but Great Wall of China is just, you can climb over it. You can climb over it. But Ya'juj Ma'juj wall is between two mountains, and it's so high, it's on level with the mountains. It will be a spectacle, it'll be something, that's the wall of Ya'juj Ma'juj. Another place in Iran has been mentioned, and different things, Allah knows best. I was recently with a scholar with my sheikh, and he was saying to me, Muftisab, what do we say about Ya'juj Ma'juj? I said, I don't know. They say, you know, so many opinions have been mentioned, Allah knows what's true. But Mawlana Hifzur Rahman Sahib in his Qasas al-Qur'an, towards the end he goes on to say, many scholars have said that this wall is a metaphysical wall, ruhani wall. It's not a physical wall that you can see. Allah has hidden it. And Ya'juj Ma'juj, Allah has hidden them as well. Because what does the hadith say? That every day Ya'juj and Ma'juj are trying to break through that wall to get out, and they go home at night time thinking, that's it, we've broken so much. And the morning they come back and everything is back to square one. So this is, you know, it's beyond our understanding. So I said, Mawlana Hifzur Rahman Sahib says it's a ruhani wall. He said, I think it's a ruhani wall. Ruhani wall. And they are in this kind of ruhani alam that we can't see them now. You can't find them on the earth, but towards the day of Qiyamah, they will come out and they will become zahir in front of us. But right now you can't. So if you say they're here, they're there, you go into Google Maps and try and find where Ya'juj and Ma'juj are located, you won't be able to. Google Maps and everything. SubhanAllah, I was trying the other day, the village I studied in Bangladesh, where I did my Hifz of Quran. I was thinking, I haven't not seen that village since I was 10 years old. I just want to see it. I went onto Google Maps and it's street view. You know the gullies of Bangladesh and the small kind of roads, you can see it on Google Maps. I thought, ajeeb, like you can see everything. So, but Ya'juj Ma'juj, you can't see. Allah has kept them hidden. أَجَعَلْ بَيْنَكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ رَدْمًا I'll build a huge wall between you and them. آتُونِي زُبَرَ الْحَدِيدِ So now Sayyidina Dhul-Qarnayn is building this wall. He says, آتُونِي زُبَرَ الْحَدِيدِ Bring me زُبَرَ الْحَدِيدِ زُبْرَةٌ زُبْرٌ means sheets, huge sheets. Bring me huge sheets of iron. لوحے کی جو ہے, بڑے بڑے جو ہے, چادریں. لوحے کی چادریں. لوہے کے جو ٹکڑے حَتَّى إِذَا سَاوَى بَيْنَ الصَّدَفَيْنَ Until I flatten them, I flatten and I kind of level, until I level land between the two mountains until he leveled the land which was between the two mountains. قال انفخوا, the area between the two mountains. قال انفخوا, he said, now blow. Blow meaning not blow with your mouths, but blow with the machinery, the bellows that were there, that these metal sheets that are there now, blow fire onto them. Blow fire with bellows onto them. حتى إذا جعله نارا, until these sheets of iron. These iron sheets, they became fire. What does that mean, they became fire? The Mufassirun say, you know, metal is heated up, it becomes red. That's what it means. It became red, that it looked like a fire, a huge fire. قال آتوني أفرغ علي قطرة. So we can understand the way this wall was built. It was built with iron sheets. And you think, subhanAllah, even nowadays with modern day technology, how would you get iron sheets all the way till the top of the middle of a mountain? Allah knows best. But we know that, subhanAllah, if Dhul Qarnayn alayhi salam radiyallahu anhu, if he had access to jinnat, if he had access to the winds and this and that, it would not have been a very difficult task for him. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam built Masjid al-Aqsa. You go to Masjid al-Aqsa today, subhanAllah, some of the original stones are there that the jinnat moved. And you look, he said, no human being can move this stone. Not even possibly 100 human beings can move this stone. Murna, you've seen in Masjid al-Aqsa. The huge, Hafsa, you've seen it. The huge stones that were used to build original Masjid al-Aqsa, massive. The human beings can't do it. Even if you go to, subhanAllah, sometimes they can achieve certain things. If you go to Egypt and you look at the pyramids, human beings did construct them. So Allah Ta'ala has given tawfiq to people. So the wall itself was made out of iron sheets. And then it was lit on fire. And then wherever there were gaps or cracks, Dhul Qarnayn said, حَتَّى إِذَا جَعَلَهُ النَّارَ, until when it was totally fire, engulfed in flames, قَالَ آتُونِي, bring me, أُفْرِغْ عَلَيْهِ قِطْرَى, I will pour copper onto it. So copper, pital, tamba. Tamba, kehte hai, ya pital kehte hai. Jai? Tani, chalo. So when the copper was brought, it was melted. So molten copper, and it was used as a sort of cement, to cement between the gaps in the iron sheets. So imagine, you know, like a solid wall. فَمَسْطَاعُوا أَن يَظْهَرُوهُ, Allah Ta'ala says, فَمَسْطَاعُوا أَن يَظْهَرُوهُ, they were not able to climb over it. Matlab, the wall was so high to the top of the mountains that Ya'juj and Ma'juj were not able to go over it. وَمَسْطَاعُوا لَهُ نَقْبَ, فَمَسْطَاعُوا أَن يَظْهَرُوهُ وَمَسْطَاعُوا لَهُ نَقْبَ, and they were not able to make any holes inside of it. Such a solid wall Sayyidina Dhul Qarnayn built for them. قَالَ هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّي, again, a servant of Allah, he says, after he built this wall, this marvel, right? He says, هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّي, this is mercy from my Rabb. I can't do anything myself. Allah has given me tawfiq, I've built this wall for you. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي جَعَلَهُ دَكَّاءَ, and then when the promise of my Rabb comes, when the time comes that my Rabb has written, everything in this dunya is going to finish. A time will come where this huge wall, so strong wall, it will also crumble into dust. It will be finished. It will be raised to the ground. وَكَانَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي حَقًّا, and the promise of my Rabb is true. So وَتَرَكْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ, I'll do that next week. So the point we take from here is that a time will come when the wall of Dhul Qarnayn will fall. The wall of Ya'juj and Ma'juj will fall. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, he woke up at night time and he was in a state of fear. And Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, what's happened? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Futihatil yawm, or Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, today a hole has been made in the wall of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. But from the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wall is slowly breaking. But towards the time of Qiyamah, it will just break. And when it breaks fully, then Ya'juj and Ma'juj will come out. And they'll go all over the land. Nobody will be able to stand up and face them. Allah Ta'ala protect us from this. It's the haqiqat Allah Ta'ala jante. Baz cheezon ko Allah Ta'ala ne humse chupa ke rakhi hai. But we know the truth. The Bible mentions them. The Torah mentions them. Gog and Magog, Gog and Magog, Gog and Magog. But the haqiqat, the reality, we are not ashana, and we are not, exposed to the reality. This will happen towards the day of Qiyamah. Inshallah, Allah gives us proper understanding. Inshallah, next week we'll finish off the surah. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.